I am told that this is a true story, but I have my doubts. It's told that one day as the Seattle Seahawks were finishing with their daily practice session, that a large turkey walked on to the field, and while the players were gazing in amazement, the turkey walked up to the head coach and he demanded to be given an opportunity to play at tight end. Everyone stared in silence as the turkey caught pass after pass and he was able to run right through the defensive line. And when the turkey returned to the sidelines, the coach shouted, "You're amazing, and if you will sign up for the season, I'll make sure that you get a huge bonus." To which the turkey replied, "Hey, forget the bonus. I just want to know one thing. Does the season go past Thanksgiving Day?" Yeah. On a more serious note, in preparation to celebrate Thanksgiving with loved ones this Thursday, I would like for us to spend some time this morning to reflect on just how blessed in Christ we really are. And it is my hope that these words of encouragement will help each one of us to get the most out of this holiday and to move us from simply approaching God with our complaints or requests and instead offer our lives as thanks offerings to Him for all that He has graciously given to us. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. And in those verses, Paul mentions 8 blessings that every believer has received and should be thankful for. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Paul writes, "I thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." 8 blessings that every believer has received. The first one is found in those opening words of the verse where Paul writes, "I always thank my God for you. I always thank my God for you." One of the blessings that we have received is the privileged status of being grafted into God's people and adopted as his children. Let it sink deep into your hearts. We are God's people. We are God's people. Having said that, I can't help but wonder how many of us truly feel that way about our brothers and sisters in Christ. How often do we stop during the course of a day, a week, a month, a year, a lifetime to offer thanks to God for the gift of the family that is ours through the blood of Jesus? G.K. Chesterton made this observation. He said, "All men matter, you matter, I matter. It's the hardest thing in theology to believe." I can relate to what Chesterton is saying. It's so easy to focus on all of the idiosyncrasies, the annoyances, the quirks, the shortcomings, etc., that we have to put up with in our relationships with one another, that the preciousness of the gift of one another and of our collective identity as God's people is completely missed. Matthew Simpson, an American pastor of the 19th century, once visited some of the great buildings of Europe, and these sites caused him to make this wonderful spiritual reflection. He wrote, "In some of the great halls of Europe may be seen pictures not painted with a brush, but mosaics, which are made up of small pieces of stone, glass, or other material. The artist takes these little pieces and, polishing and arranging them, he forms them into a grand and beautiful picture. Each individual part of the picture may be a little worthless piece of glass or marble or shell, but with each in its place, the whole constitutes the masterpiece of art." And then he says, "So I think it will be with humanity in the hands of the great artist. God is picking up the little worthless pieces of stone and brass that might be trodden underfoot unnoticed and is making them into his great masterpiece." We are God's people. We are God's great masterpiece that he's putting together, that he has intentionally and uniquely formed here, now, this way. God has blessed us with each other, people. So my encouragement is, take time this week to practically express your gratitude for the blessing of being part of God's people by blessing someone. And I'm not going to tell you how to do that, but I ask you, pray, ask God to lead you, and then obey his prompting. Second blessing that we have received as a result of placing our faith in God is found in the second half of verse 4, where it says, "Because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus." That is, we are all recipients of God's grace. So God's grace. Now, I doubt that anyone here present today would disagree with that statement. We are all recipients of grace, but I wonder how many times or how many of us live out that reality on a daily basis. Has God's grace become so familiar, too commonplace, that it no longer strikes us as utterly amazing? The great need that many of us have is to cultivate a daily awareness, that is, a state of perpetual awe and wonder of the reality of God's grace, and to allow that to grow to an extent that it influences and characterizes our outlook on life. What I'm referring to here is a need to recapture, or perhaps for some of us to be captured for the first time, by a growing childlike sense of amazement of what being a recipient of God's grace really means in all of its vastness. I think of it like that Christmas morning feeling you had when you were 5 years old and you opened up the candy cane printed paper, and inside you found there was a fire truck. And it wasn't just any old fire truck, but it was a fire truck that really squirted water. And when you got that thing, what did you do? You ran to the sink and you filled up the reservoir and you began to extinguish all the fires throughout the house. Do you remember that? Maybe it wasn't a fire truck for you, but do you remember that childlike amazement? Well, God's grace is infinitely more wonderful, infinitely more precious, infinitely more consuming than our present experience or stories that we've heard from others. You see, God's grace is not just about the life someday. It's about filling our lives right here, right now, with more meaning and purpose than we could ever hope to imagine or exhaust. Jesus described it as life to the full. And that being the case, I encourage you, take time this week to thank God for His amazing grace in your life. Be aware. Third blessing we have is God's spiritual blessings in our life. God's spiritual blessings. Paul writes this in verse 5, "For in Him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge." And did you take note of what it is that you just heard and read? It says that in Christ we have been blessed in every way. That there is absolutely nothing lacking in our lives. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to have everything that we want. Because, quite frankly, our wants sometimes don't come under the domination of God's Spirit. But we cannot make a legitimate claim against God that He has in any way been withholding anything that we need. That is an overwhelming truth. We have all that we need and more. One morning, R.C. Chapman, who was a devout Christian, was asked how he was feeling, and his reply was, "I'm burdened today." And the person who asked the question was puzzled because his happy countenance did not reflect what he had just said, that he was burdened. And so with surprise, he said, are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman? He said, "Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude," which only puzzled the person even more. And so he went on to say, "I'm referring to what it says in Psalm 68:19, which fully describes my condition. In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that He daily loads us down with His benefits. I'm burdened today." Friends, what's your perspective on life? Are you living in the conscious reality that God is not stingy and has, in fact, blessed your life in every way? Do you see life that way? Are you in the habit of taking notice of the various ways that God is working in your life and meticulously providing for every one of your needs? Do you take the time to smell God's roses that He brings to you every day? The scriptures say, "His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Again, I encourage each of us, take time this week. Think about and thank God for the many spiritual blessings that He has loaded you down with. Fourth blessing that every believer possesses is mentioned in verse 6. It says, "God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you." And Paul's reference to our testimony about Christ is simply another way of talking about God's gospel in you. Each of us has received the blessing of God's gospel. The good news has come into our lives. Again, it's an unfortunate reality that too many of us take the work of God's gospel in our lives for granted. We become too comfortable, too satisfied with the knowledge that we have a ticket to heaven. And we end up living careless, mundane lives. And we miss out on all the good news that God intends for us to experience here and now. In truth, God's gospel should have a constant impact on every fiber of our being. We should be tingling from God's gospel in our lives. A.B. Simpson, founder of the Alliance, is reported to have said that the gospel tells rebellious men that God is reconciled, that justice is satisfied, that sin has been atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty man may be revoked, the condemnation of the sinner canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portals of heaven open wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the brokenhearted comforted, the sorrow and misery of the fall undone. And I'm telling you, that is just the short list. Here's your assignment this week. Thank God. Thank God by being a living testimony of the gospel in your life. Let people see it in you. Blessing number five is God's enabling. He says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Again, mind-boggling thought. God has purposely given us his divine enabling with the result that we do not lack any good thing in any way. His divine power is in you to accomplish whatever it is he has called you to do. I can tell you that there are times when I grumble. I know. Can you believe it? I grumble and I think, God, I sure wish you had given me the gifts like you gave to that guy over there. Why, if I could do what that person could do, I could do such and such for you. But I'm not gifted like that. Poor, pitiful me. And I know. It is hard to escape the comparison game and the I know better than God game. But what this verse is telling us, again, is that God knows what he is doing and that he knows what we are going to encounter in life. And that he has already made all the preparations to ensure that our experience of life, listen to this, is the very best that it can possibly be. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Friends, you and I, each and every one of us who is in Christ, has been gifted by God to carry out our part in his eternal plan. And the grand implication of that is that we are all major players in what God is doing on the earth at this time and in this place. Our lives are meant to be filled with significance and to make a significant difference in the world. Do we really believe that? Knowing this should give us ample reasons to thank God. So, again, give him thanks for the ways that he has invested his gifts in your life. Customized gifts that fit you. and fit his purposes for you. Thank him for the calling on your life. Thank him for including you in his plans to bring the world to himself. Again, beginning right here with the people who live around you and extending to the farthest reaches of the earth. It's amazing that God has included us in his plan. Now look at verse 8. It says, he will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what this verse is speaking of is the fact of God's preserving power in our lives. His preserving power in our lives. And like the other blessings spoken of in this passage, God's preserving power has implications for the present as well as the future. See, this verse is a great promise that God is powerful enough to make sure that one day we will see the fulfillment of his promises to us, and that we have a place with him in heaven for all eternity. And because our future is in his hands and wholly dependent upon him, we have the assurance that we will receive every good thing that he has spoken. Friends, it is going to happen. But this verse also applies to our experience of life in the present. It tells us that he is watching over us and ordering things in such a way that they will lead us to the fulfillment of every one of his promises. Our circumstances may not be what we would like them to be, but I want you to know this. We can take great confidence in the fact that God is at work in the minutest details of our lives, and that he is directing us toward his good pleasure, which leads to blessing in our lives. So thank God for his preserving power in your life this week. Take time to ponder how he has rescued you and kept you and provided for you and is leading you to himself. The next blessing that Paul mentions in this passage is God's faithfulness. It's exactly what it says there, doesn't it? God is faithful. God is faithful. I think God's faithfulness is another one of those truths that we oftentimes struggle to believe. I think that the main reason that this is the case is because we hold on to inadequate beliefs about God that call into question his character. And let me try to illustrate what I'm talking about. Many of us view God's faithfulness along the same lines as the college student who walked into a photography studio, and they don't have those things anymore, but there used to be these things called photography studios. And he walked in there with a framed picture of his girlfriend, and the purpose of going in there is he wanted to have this photo duplicated. And of course, this involved removing it from the frame, and in doing so, the studio owner noticed an inscription on the back of the photo, and the inscription said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I am yours for all eternity." And it was signed Diane. And it contained a P.S. "And if we ever break up, I want this picture back." Church, I am here to declare to you this morning that God is not like that. God is not like that. He is not a fickle God who only gives himself to the point that he can trust us. Thank God that's not true. It's not dependent on his ability to trust us. God's faithfulness is not dependent upon or limited by our ability to be faithful. Think about that. God is faithful. He will always be faithful. And friends, he cannot be anything else but faithful. Aren't you thankful this morning that our relationship with God does not contain a P.S. just in case things don't work out? Because if it did, I know I'd be out. So give him thanks for his irrevocable thankfulness or faithfulness to you in all things. Final blessing Paul mentions that is ours through Christ is God's fellowship. And he finishes off here saying, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God's fellowship. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, tells the following story of how he was reminded of the preciousness of God's fellowship. He wrote this, our two sons, Zach and Brad, now grown and serving our dear Lord in ministry, mean more to me than I could ever begin to put into words, and God has taught me much through them. One day when they were small, as I was preparing a message, Zach suddenly appeared with a stack of books and sat down across the table from me. I sensed the warmth of his love, even though he didn't want to interrupt my study. My heart melted, and I broke the silence. Zach, I want you to know how much it means to me that you have come to sit with me. He replied, Daddy, that's the reason I come. I just want to be with you. And he says, suddenly, for the first time in my life, I really understood how the great heart of our loving God longs for fellowship with man. If I delight in my sons and long to be with them and tell them that I love them and care for them, surely God's delight in us is infinitely greater because his capacity for love is so much greater. One of the most amazing benefits of Christ's great sacrifice is that we, mere mortals, can actually have fellowship with him. Verse 9 again, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, I think it's important that we keep in mind what we're talking about here. The God of all creation, who is complete in himself and lacks nothing, has chosen to have intimate fellowship with you and with me. Not because of some need, but by his sovereign decision to invite us into his eternal community. I want you to be with me. Let that soak in. And then respond to his unfathomable blessing this week. Let's give him thanks for our fellowship that is ours in Jesus. So those are 8 powerful blessings that all believers have received. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these are yours. I'm going to repeat them. They are God's people, God's grace, God's spiritual blessings, God's gospel, God's enabling, God's persevering power, God's faithfulness, and God's fellowship. All yours and mine. We are without a doubt the most blessed people on the face of the planet. Amen?